Blog Talk Radio.
Hello? 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 Hello?
Hello?
Yes.
Hello?
Yes. Hello?
All right. We got it together. Hey. Seems like it.
Hey, who's this? That's Darius.
This is Michael.
Michael. Hi, Michael.
Hey, how's it going?
All right. This is Bruce.
Hey, Bruce, where's David?
I have no idea, but my wish...
I'm here now.
My wish was coming true. If we can't do it on the air, let's do it together.
But I think it's live on the phone. We're not on the regular channel. I got some email just popped up on my screen saying you have to dial in or something. I guess they're down.
So we're not really on air, it's just us?
My understanding is we're on air, we're just not on the usual way.
Well, maybe we're
we have
on
to
the
call
international.
In.
Everybody in the world can hear us now.
Yeah, but right now it's just you and Michael.
I thought I heard a third voice.
I'm going to call the other guys and tell, huh?
I thought I heard another voice.
Yeah, I heard Darius.
I can see him.
Darius?
He dropped off.
Oh.
He dropped off. Let me give them a call. You guys go ahead and talk.
All right. Michael, hang on.
How's it going, Bruce?
All right. Let you and I talk. What do you want to talk about?
Oh, let's talk about the people in the streets and how horrible our president is. How about that?
Well, I agree with you about let's talk about the people in the streets. I disagree with how horrible the president is. Yes, he's got some bad things going on. I agree with you on that, but horrible? No.
Hey, Bruce, I wanted to ask you this. I was watching this I listened to a right-wing guy by the name of Ben Shapiro. I'm not sure if you're familiar with him.
Who?
Ben Shapiro. He's a right-wing commentator.
Oh, yeah, I know Ben. Well, I know of Ben, yeah.
Okay, I listen to him every day, and yesterday, Friday, when I was listening to him, he said that the incident in Georgia with the guy with the guy was jogging, the jogging incident, he said it seems like to him, he said it seems like that incident is a race-driven issue. He said he didn't think so originally until he heard that the guy standing over him with the shotgun used the N-word. Ben Shapiro said, well, since the guy used the N-word, I now believe it's racially motivated. But before that, he did not believe it was racially motivated. So my question to you is, does it really take for someone to be screaming the N-word over a dead body for the conservatives to finally go, okay, yeah, well, maybe that is racist? Does it have to be that extreme for you guys to know it's racist?
No. No. Nor, on the other side of the coin, does it have to be said certain things 10 times for the left to understand. I think you and I would agree. No, it doesn't have to be. You ought to be able to be intelligent enough, meaning me or you looking on the right, my looking on the left, to understand whether something is wrong or smells bad or whatever, or just as, and in the case of that jogging situation, based on what I know, I don't know the nth degree, but based on what I know, yelling that despicable word, and there's other words that are just as bad the other way, but that word didn't have to be yelled. A matter of fact, I never heard that in any of the video. So no, I don't. If Ben needs that to all of a sudden change his mind, then he didn't think strong enough about it the first time. So no, I don't need that.
Okay, but do you do agree that a lot of people on the right that think like this?
Well, probably. And are there a lot of people on the left think that all the protesters were nonviolent? Yes, which is ridiculous. I think, wouldn't you agree with that? I mean,
but if it's okay with you, let's stay focused on the dead black guy. We'll talk about the protest later. Right now, we're talking about the dead black guy.
Unfortunately, there's more than one. There's three.
Exactly. So why did it take for it to come to this for you guys to go, okay, well, there is a problem. Well, we've been saying there's a problem with the dead black guy by the hands of cops. We've been saying that for a very long time. Why does it take now for you guys to go, okay?
Michael, it's not you guys. It's the people on, believe me when I say it, because I've seen it on both sides, if we're going left, right, Republican, Democrat, if those are the two sides. There's people on both sides that are guilty. Believe it or not, there are people on the left are despicable characters too. So it's not just you guys or someone on the right saying boy or some derogatory thing like that.
Let's call it what it is. You said on both sides there's, let's go ahead and give it a name, racist. There's racists on both sides. Let's go ahead and give it the name it is.
Well,
okay.
You know why? Not to deny there isn't racism. Yes, there is. And maybe finally, maybe, based on reaction around the globe, that we've finally hit a tipping point that something significant is going to happen. Welcome it more myself. It's been probably as much, if not more, than you, not being a black man myself. So if something like that comes out of all this bad, that's terrific. But the only reason I said don't use the word racism, it's been so overused that its meaning is hijacked, that it's not it doesn't have the significance that it should.
Says a white guy,
by me, and yes, I'm a white guy, but I've heard that from some of my black friends too.
Okay,
and some of my,
I'm your black friend, and I disagree with that. I don't agree with that at all.
You can, and you totally have a different perspective than I have. But I've lived through. I saw something interesting, Michael. Just found it by mistake. I wasn't looking for it. National Geographic had the Watts riots documentary on last night. Did you have? You didn't see it, did you?
No, I didn't see it. No. Very familiar with it.
Michael, yeah. Bruce, can you do me a favor? Hold on a second. I think everybody's on. Let me just try something. Ron, are you there?
Okay.
Yeah, I'm here.
Ron.
Hey, guys.
Okay.
Hey, Ron.
Darius, you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Hi, right, guys.
All right. I think everybody's on. I apologize, but the station
Jeremiah
is
as well.
Down.
Jeremiah.
All right. Yeah.
Don's on the phone,
we're back
too.
Live.
Don,
yeah,
wow, we got everybody. David, are you there, David?
Yeah. We're not under the normal circumstances, but we make it work. I mean, we can do this. I got a big thing on there saying there are problems on the line. So, but
no,
I do
no
know Spen- we're on. So
no
go
Spencer.
Ahead. I'm sorry.
No Spencer.
Spencer was here a minute. He was here. Let me get him back. Okay. All right, go ahead. You guys were having a conversation. I'm sorry. I just wanted to make sure everybody
was
on. We were.
Michael and I were respectfully as brothers disagreeing on much deeper than semantics, but disagreeing on some wording and so forth. And I think to his surprise, I agreed with him on a couple of things that he didn't think I was going to agree on. Uh-oh, what's all
yes,
that?
My question to him was, I'll open it up to the floor. My original question to him was, that why did it have to come to such an extreme event where a guy gets a knee in the neck for 9 minutes and another guy is shot and killed while jogging? Why did it have to come to something so extreme for a lot of those on the right or a lot of, I'm just going to say it, a lot of my white counterparts to finally go, okay, you know what, maybe there is a problem. When we've been telling you guys there's a problem since Martin Luther King, we've been telling you there's a problem. Why did it take 50 years and a guy with a knee in the neck for you guys to finally go, okay, it's a problem?
Michael, I think I have at least, if not the answer, maybe part of the answer. I think when something is, and this is Ron, by the way, when something is systemic, the way that racism is and many other forms of discrimination, you know, it doesn't change overnight. I mean, it's so rooted in everything that we do as a society, and it's not just the United States. I mean, I was just watching the news and the protesters in London, England. I mean, massive protests going on because there's systemic racism there as well. But if you look at the history of this country and the people that have been discriminated against, I mean, look at what happened with gay rights, you know, and the oppression of gay people. And even that hasn't fully changed. I mean, so when something is systemically ingrained in a society, it's very hard to make changes. That's why last week I said that I was not really too optimistic that anything's going to change because, you know, look at gun control. Look at what happened after Parkland. You know, Marjorie Stoneman Douglas, and people are saying, oh, things are finally going to change because all the kids were in D.C. and marching. And, you know, really, aside from a few minor tweaks in laws here and there, hasn't been anything nationwide that has changed there either. So, you know, it takes everybody and it takes a long time to make changes like that. But they need to happen.
Right, but I don't want to belittle this one by comparing. I hate it when they go, well, compare our struggle, meaning the African American struggle, to the gay rights struggle. All respect to the gay community, but there's never been a gay man swinging from a tree because he was gay. So I hate when they try to equate those two struggles. But not as many. I'm pretty sure not as many.
Yeah. Well, I grant you that, but there has been a lot of gay bashing and homicides and everything because of that. I mean, maybe not as widespread as it is with African Americans. I'll give you that.
Well,
those are two separate struggles. And I hate when they try to water our struggle down by throwing other struggles in there.
No. I'm not trying to water it down at all. I'm sorry you misunderstood. I'm just saying that when something is so ingrained in a society like this is, you know, it's going to take a lot of work and it's going to take a long time for things to change. But, you know, they will. I mean, because this is unacceptable. This is, you know, right now the U.S. is not accepted at all across the world. And it's not just because of this, but, you know, the whole situation with COVID-19 and our leadership and, you know, the use of, you know, getting active military to confront our own American citizens on U.S. soil. I mean, a lot of stuff is going on right now that the world is looking and saying, wow, they're just like shaking their head.
Well, and let me add one quick thing to Michael and you, Ron. Remember, too, we never know what incident, situation, and what person or people or what type of people are going to make major change. Freeing of the slaves, which wasn't an end-all, but it was a huge step, was by a white president that believed it was the right thing to do. We fought each other in a civil war over it. So that was major. So my only point in that is you never know where the real reform is going to come and who's going to bring it.
And I can't disagree with that. Was that Bruce?
Yes.
I can't disagree with that, Bruce, but I can honestly say I don't see that change happening with our current president. I mean, that's just my opinion, but I don't see that happening at all. He's actually divided us as a country more than united us.
Well, and President Obama didn't do a wonderful job of uniting us either, and he said he was going to do that, and he had a unique opportunity to do that. He did some good things, but he didn't do a lot of good things he could have done in his position and being our first black president. There was a lot of hope. It was the whole country that elected him twice, not the black voters, not the white voters, not other minority voters, everybody.
You think that had to do with it? You think that had anything to do with the opposition he got from the Republican Party? Because they really did try to block everything he tried to do.
No, because of this, when you're president, you got to own up to your time in the office, including Barack Obama, including George Bush, including Donald Trump. He too many times said when something was bad, well, that was President Bush. And then when the economy went crazy, well, that started under, that's all mine. So my only point of making those two contrasts, you have to own, when you're the president, you have to own what's on your watch. And if it's not right, then you got to figure out a way to fix it. You wanted the job. You were elected to the job. You have to do the job, and you have to lead all of us to be better. Some are great at doing that. Some are not. I don't think we disagree on that.
Okay, gentlemen, let me jump in for a second because I think there's something that keeps coming up, and I wanted to do a little conversation about it today because I do know there are people on both sides of the aisle on this panel, and I wanted to get to Darius to say there are so many times that I've heard the president is his leadership has been terrible. He's not doing what he's supposed to do. He's just terrible. And then there's the other side that says he's doing a great job. And I want to have this, why are we saying he's not doing what he's supposed to be doing? And there are people saying he is doing more than he's supposed to be doing. And I want to have that conversation today just for a little while on what are the things that the people on the other side are seeing that he is doing that is great for this country. And I think Darius is one of those people that believe that this president is doing that stuff. So, Darius, tell us what you think this president is doing to help pull this all together, and why is it that people on that side are saying none of this is his fault, but there's the other side that's saying all of this is his fault. So let's have a conversation about both sides. So I would like Darius and Bruce to get on the, give me what you see positive, and then I'm sure there's going to be a lot of people on the other side to jump in that. But Darius, are you there?
I'm here.
Okay,
yeah,
tell us.
You know, it doesn't really matter who's in office. I mean, you're always going to get, at best, the a president can get is 50%. You know, if he's got a 50% approval rating, he's doing great. So there's always going to be half and half. There's always going to be a divide. But in terms of what I've seen is when you have a country that's unwilling, especially a media that's unwilling to unite under any circumstances, it's going to be difficult. So President Trump gave a speech, and not very many people saw it on Saturday, because it was a Saturday, and it was the launch of the spacecraft. And one of the things he talked about was the greatness of America. And when Americans unify, when we pull together, when we work together with one another, and not only point out our differences, but use those different scenarios or different points of view to come together for a greater good, how great this country could be. Nobody reported that. He talked about what happened with George. Nobody pointed out that. He talked about how the police were brutal and they were wrong and how justice needed to be brought swiftly. He also made the same speech with Ahmaud down in Georgia, in Brunswick, Georgia, and he said how he was going to send his Justice Department down there to investigate as well. None of that was reported. The man even went to the church to pray about uniting the country and bringing peace and resolve to the country, and stood up and held the Bible up and saying, this is how, you know, this is what we need to look to. He said that we need to pray now more than ever. Now, if you can't unify under those things, then you're just unwilling, period. And that's what we have. We have an unwillingness to unify, and that's fine. I'm not criticizing anybody. I'm just saying that that's just who we are. You got 50% they're gonna view it one way, and 50% are gonna view it the other way. In my opinion, I think those things that Donald Trump did, and the strides that he's made in terms of justice reform, which no president before him has done, and the strides he's made to make sure that black people aren't disadvantaged in our justice system, are not being prosecuted equally and fairly. Those are things, those are strides that he's made, reaching out to black churches, black pastors, black schools, black inner cities. But yet people are saying, oh, he's a divider. That's someone unwilling to acknowledge those changes, and those type of people you can't argue with.
All right. Don Wiggins, you want to jump in that? Not jump in it, but jump in the conversation.
I'd love to, gentlemen. I've just been sitting back listening to all my friends talk, and I'd love to. You're right. You're not ever going to get me to agree that 45 Donald Trump is doing a great job. Never. 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 You know, I'm reminded of the saying that give me love, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And I think that's something that all of us are looking for. Every one of us on this call, and I think the world, is looking for love, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. But I don't know if you guys realize that we're going through a change that the world has never seen before. I had the opportunity to grow up in Detroit when we had the race riots in 67, 68, 69. Malcolm X lived in Lansing, Michigan. Rap Brown, Chicago, Martin Luther King. I went to a Catholic school that was predominantly white. I didn't really know who to hate. I grew up in a multicultural relationship and environment, and I saw this unrest among people and the killing of black people. And what we've gone through recently over the past 4 months, we've gone through a quarantine where a disease is killing people disproportionately, people of color dying at an enormous rate, COVID-19. we've seen over the past 3 months, three murders, killings by the police department of black people. And on top of that, God said, I'm going to mix it up. I'm going to show the dysfunction in the police department. And here's a 75-year-old man that was pushed down by the police department. And they say he tripped. And he's bleeding from the head. And the sergeant says, just keep moving. Just keep moving. Keep moving. Let him lay there. I mean, it's crazy. It's crazy. And leadership comes from the top. We need a person that's going to unite this country, not divide it, unite it. And that's what I don't see. You know, the world is looking at color right now, and it's not a black thing. It's not a white thing. It's a human thing. And you hear me say this all the time, gentlemen. America and the world has a heart problem. It's a heart problem. It's in the heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the man speaketh. But the thing is, we got to deal with that heart problem. That's what's spurring the racism. 400 years we've been going through this heart problem with the slaves coming over, oppressed by the oppressor. You know, I tell you, you know, and for our president to say that George is up there laughing, feeling good. I don't know anybody that got killed the way he did is up there laughing and feeling good. You could have kept that. And then, Darius, you never used the Bible as a prop. That was a prop. You don't use the Bible as a prop. And then what we need is we need accountability in the police department.
What you don't do is pretend to know what's in someone's heart. And the fact you're judging what's in his heart. You're judging whether he was genuine or not. And if you're a Christian, you know that's something that we never do. So just because you called it a problem, you know, you don't know what was in this man's heart when he went to that church to pray that day and he took his family with him to pray. That's an unfair assumption to make because you don't know him personally. Neither do I. So I don't pretend to judge what's in his heart.
Darius, that's my opinion. Excuse me, can I finish, please? Darius, that's my opinion, and I'm sticking to it. It was a prop, and you don't use the Bible as a prop. And furthermore, he needs to open it and read it. It's not 2 Corinthians, it's 2 Corinthians. So I hope he opens it and reads it, because it talks about love. It talks about love, and that's what we're experiencing right now, a lack of love. You're going to get me started here.
Right.
I'm going to start preaching on you.
Well, and that lack of love is going in multiple directions, gentlemen, not one direction.
It's a heart problem, Bruce. Okay, but let me toss it over. Wait. Let me toss it over to Bruce. Go ahead. Why don't you want to say something? Go ahead.
Don, so I don't forget it. I listen to you very carefully, and I have a lot of respect for you and agree with you on a number of things. But as you made the mistake I did. I agree with Darius on the fact you didn't dig deep enough to understand the whole thing and hear all the words on the situation with the church. On his comments about George Floyd, I didn't hear at all because our press always – cleverly cuts things out, you know, edits, as they call it. If you listen to the whole thing he said about George, you'd think differently. You go back and find that, Don, and you won't say what you
to
just
it.
Said.
I was listening to the whole story. He said George is happy. He said George is up there happy. That's what he said. And I don't know if George is up there happy. And in fact, I don't know. I don't know that. I don't know anybody that got a knee crying for his
knows
mama.
That, but it doesn't.
Let me tell you something. Here was a dead man laying on the ground saying, "Mama, mama." And when he was talking about mama, he wasn't calling his biological mama. He was calling all the mothers in the world that had birthed people that had been taken advantage of like that.
Don, you don't even know that. He could have been calling his mom. What's wrong with that? He was scared to death. He was being wronged. He was being maligned. He was being murdered. And you
his
don't know
deceased.
That, Don.
His mother's deceased. He was not calling his biological mother. His mother's
you
deceased.
Don't know that.
He was calling. His mother is deceased. That's a fact. He was calling
well,
all the mothers
so,
around the world to violence.
His mother was deceased. Exactly. His mother's deceased. He was calling
so what?
Out for
hey,
help.
So what?
Hey, Don, I want you to give us all the Powerball numbers for next week, man, because you seem to know a lot about what people are thinking
yeah.
and what's in people's
yeah.
hearts, man. So why don't you give me the lottery numbers, man, so we can go ahead.
All
right, go
all
ahead
well,
again.
I'll tell you what. If you want it, you need to hold on a second. I'm going to give it to you. Hold on a second. I'm going to give it to you.
Give us the numbers, Don.
Yeah, I'm going to give you three digits right now. 8:46. It was 8 minutes and 46
seconds. Yeah, I knew
seconds.
That.
He had his knee on his neck. Put that one in you.
All right.
Lotto.
All right, gentlemen, let me do something. Ron, can you jump in and give us your thoughts on this? And then, Jeremiah, stand by because you're coming up next. Ron.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of already shared my thoughts. I think what's happening is despicable. It has to stop. I mean, there's –
But, Ron, do,
you know, the
do me
thing,
a favor. The question I'm asking is really why – how do you see the president – of the United States right now not being a leader? I know that you said that several times. In your mind, what is it that he needs to do to show leadership? Because obviously there are people who think he doesn't know what to do, and there are people who think he's doing great. So, but I want to see if we can come down the middle somewhere, something's going on, or is it really that bad? So tell us in your mind what this president needs to do to turn that coin, to make the public, make everyone like him, because it looks like he lost in the polls according to the last stats. He's going down.
Well, I'll tell you.
But what
yeah,
is it
I'll,
that
I'll
he needs
you,
to do?
I'll tell you from my perspective, and you know, it's always
sure.
easier to be an armchair quarterback, you know. But I think, like with the pandemic, I think he was slow to react. Not that it's too late to you know at least attempt to make things better. But, you know, he was slow to react in addressing the country. And I still really, maybe it's the media I'm watching, but I hope not. But I still haven't really seen him address the country. And if he did, I missed it. But address the country specifically to talk about what's going on in terms of race and police brutality. I mean, that's what I would like to hear him talk about. And also the fact that, you know, he still comes across as a bully to me. I mean, as a dictator, to me, he's no different than Venezuela's dictator. You know, I guess as president, he has the authority to do so, but to pull our, you know, acting military to, you know, restrain and combat American citizens that were protesting, you know, pretty peacefully. It's just unfathomable to me, his reaction. And hang on, let me finish. And his attitude. I think his attitude that he's above it all. I think that's going to be hard. That's going to be a challenge for me to get over. And I know that a lot of people feel the same way I do about that. If he can address the nation, and you know, really speak from the heart, Don, like what you were saying, it's a heart problem. If he can really speak from the heart, I haven't heard him speak from the heart yet. Unless you're listening to something I'm not, I haven't heard the president speak from the heart yet regarding this matter. And this is something that really needs to you know, we need leadership from the top at you know, not just at the presidential level, but our governor here in Florida hasn't said a peep about what's going on. You know, to me, that's lack of leadership.
Ron, I just wanted to add one thing. This is Bruce. I thought everybody, you know, because the press has said, oh, he ordered active military troops on our own people. How despicable. You just said that. Guess what?
Right.
He did not. They just interviewed the attorney general, and he said, no, he didn't. He might. You know how Trump is. He might have asked a lot of questions about all the different alternatives, but he said he didn't ask. He didn't demand or ask for it.
Secretary of Defense confirmed that as well. That he didn't ask that.
Who did? Attorney General did. I don't know if the Secretary of Defense did. But all I'm saying, Ron.
So why did they use the military?
They didn't use the military. It was a lie.
They didn't.
Huh?
Nope. They used the National Guard a little bit. That's it.
Yeah, but who authorized the military? They don't act on their own.
They didn't use them.
The military wasn't used. It was a lie, guys.
They didn't use the military.
It was the State Park Police.
You're saying there was no military at all?
No, the National Guard is part military.
So you're going to keep stretching this till you get the answer you want. Yes, there was National Guard. The National Guard has been used in many, many times for many, many situations. So now you can't use the National Guard either.
The National Guard is a state military. That's not ordered by the President of the United States.
That's right.
But the word you use, state military, they are military.
Oh, jeez.
But anyway, Jeremiah, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Oh, boy.
Okay, throw your thoughts.
I was really, really quick. I was interested in hearing some comments that someone said the president made towards Mr. Floyd or something like that. What was those comments? Can someone tell me?
He was
the exact comment was he said that today's a great day for Mr. Floyd. That's what he said. He said today was a great day for him.
So he said he was sympathizing, protesting, and things like that. Am I correct?
He said Mr. Floyd is up there looking down and it's a great day. That's what he said.
If you listen to the whole thing, yeah, the president can't say he might be pleased with what he sees now in regards to some of the positive things that's going on?
No, he was there to speak on the stock market. The stock market, gentlemen, had increased tremendously. That's the reason why he was having the press conference. And he pivoted from the stock market.
No. I'm sorry to interrupt. That's wrong. He was speaking on the employment numbers. The employment rate. That's what he was speaking on.
He was speaking on the employment numbers and the stock market. It's not the right time. Go ahead.
Okay.
Jeremiah.
Let's just call it the economy.
Go ahead, Jeremiah. Do you think that was a prime time opportunity to discuss
Mr. Floyd?
No, the press asked him the question.
I would have declined to speak on it. You know, because his comments wasn't good enough for me to even speak on it, and he should have spoke on it when he was talking about the looting and the rioting and stuff like that. He should have brought that up as well.
He did speak on it. He spoke on it several times.
Yeah, when you loot, you should shoot.
I just want to say this: like, we're talking about racism and systemic racism. And institutional racism. I need to clear this up because this really irks me. I disagree with that premise. There is no institutional or systemic racism in America. You have individual racism. But you don't have institutional. No, you do. Because look, if you don't, why is it that the cities and all this, where all of this stuff is happening, are blue cities? You got black mayors. You've got black chief of police officers. You've got black head.
There he is.
You're more likely, a black man is more likely to be killed by a black police officer than a white police officer.
You're talking about self defense. You're talking about some other stuff, Darius. Honestly,
Let's go back.
Now you said that.
Wait, I can name an institution that's racist. I can literally name an American institution that is racist. It's called the BOP, the Bureau of Prisons. The Federal Bureau of Prisons is a federal institution that is a racist institution that has 60% black men behind bars right now. It has more black men incarcerated than
in 1952.
Wait a minute. Okay, so if that's
something
the case, then point out to me. Wait a minute. Hold on, guys. I'm sorry. If that's the case, point out to me the policy that's in place right now that makes it necessary or that requires a minority oppression. Because if it's institutional, then you can show us the policy. Like, it was very easy in the 60s.
Let me ask you your question. Let me show you the policy. Let me please show you the policy. You asked to see the policy, okay? I will show you the policy, okay? If you're a black man and you go before the court system, the judge has the discrepancy to give you a bail or not give you a bail. The majority of the black men that go before that white judge, she normally gets a very high bail that he cannot afford. However, the white guy is given a bail that he can't afford, so he bails out, he goes home. And
Michael, that's not a policy. That's a personal decision by the judge. That's not a policy.
No, it's not a policy.
Let me answer that. It's a policy because if the Republicans
and the Democrats got together, passed a law that could fix that and overturn that, therefore that makes it policy that the Republican Party chooses not to address.
Donald Trump was the only person that address the inadequacies in the Justice Department concerning black people. Are you serious right now? Justice reform. That's President Donald J. Trump. Thank you very much.
That was window
dressing. What I'm talking about is laws that are in place, laws that say, like Jim Crow laws, that allow people to oppress minorities. If it's systematic, if it's systemic, if it's institutional, then there's a law in place that we need to change. Point out that law, and then let's go change it. But like Don said, it's a matter of the heart. It's an individual act. It's not an American act. America as a country is not racist, and we need to stop feeding into that. America is not inherently racist. You have individuals that are racist. You have individual cops that are racist, but not the country, not the government. If I saw the protests, I saw more white people in some cities protesting than black people. So how can you say America is racist? We need to get away from that. Can I add this to the equation?
We got a problem in America and the world. We got a problem. And the thing is, we've gone through this for years. And let's talk about the solution on how we're going to fix this thing. Because I've seen racism even in my field, and I thank God for affirmative action. Because if it had not been for affirmative action, I would have never been in the broadcast field because the president said, you've got to hire more minorities, and the FCC changed their ruling to hire more minorities back in the 60s. And it was a lot of racism. We couldn't get in the field. So now here we are. We got a problem. I mean, we got a serious problem. We've been going through this for years. How are we going to fix this? What's the solution to fixing this? And let me say this, and I'm going to shut up. I'm going to ask that question on how we solve it. And we as black African Americans, we gotta fix it ourselves. I mean, we gotta fix this thing ourselves. and not
we are our biggest
depend on and not depend on the White House. Let me repeat that. I'm not going to depend on the White House to fix this problem. We got to fix this problem. How do we do it?
All right. Can I get someone to answer the question, though? Because this goes back to what you just asked. Tell me, why is it that all of this stuff is happening in blue cities? People who claim to be liberal and free thinking. Tell me why you have cities where you have black commissioners, black mayors. Like, why is it happening there? But you want to come straight to the White House. You want to absolve these people that are at the local municipal level and go straight to D.C. and blame Donald Trump. When you want to look at the black people that's in our own communities, that's the problem. That's where we start. And nobody wants to acknowledge that. And I'm waiting on anybody on this panel to tell me why that's happening in those cities.
Okay, I'll acknowledge that. The difference there, because I love when I hear that one. Like, well, what about black on black crime? Black people kill each other all the time. When I hear that one, I laugh, because the difference is, if a black guy were to come in here and kill me or someone close to me, he would go to jail for that crime. Could it not been a videotape? That guy stood there with the knee in the neck for 9 minutes. He'd be walking free right now if there not were videotape. Because guys like him have been doing that forever to black people in this country and just walking free. That's why he did it so nonchalantly. Because he felt like, hey, I'm going to get away with this one just like all the other guys that killed black guys did. That's why.
It's a beautiful statement, but it doesn't address my question.
Well, let me ask this question.
Where you have black leadership, black mayors, black commissioners, black police, why isn't it happening? Why aren't they responsible for what's happening in their cities?
That happened in the state of Georgia. That was Georgia's red state.
I'm not talking about Ahmaud. You're right. That was a red area. But I'm saying most of the cities where this violence and stuff is happening right now are blue cities with black mayors and black police chiefs and commissioners.
I think in those
I think
the public feels more comfortable because the leadership in those cities are African American leaders. So African Americans feel more comfortable to film and take their cameras out and shoot pictures of the people doing wrong. We don't have that happening all over the United States. We just have it in the blue areas because that's where the comfort is. But I think it's growing.
David, are they comfortable in letting them loot? That's not. I don't understand that thinking.
I agree with you. It's not that there is one special. There's not one nationality looting. It is everybody out there who don't have anything to do or in those stores. There are more pictures of people who don't look like me in those stores looting than there are people who look like me.
And guess what? I didn't say it was just black people looting. I said looters, looting, period. I agree. It's people taking advantage of a bad situation. I agree. But especially you, Don, you're a man of the cloth, so to speak. When I hear you constantly put up these barriers, well, he can't do this, he can't do that, he's bad all the time. How are we ever going to open up and have a true dialogue and a true action plan, not just dialogue, to fix this problem? I agree with you. And maybe finally, with the most recent three incidents, we've raised a level of consciousness enough that we might actually get something done. We will not get something done if we don't open up to each other and try and solve it together. It's not just a black problem. It's a U.S. of A. American problem in this United States.
I have a question, Bruce. Bruce, who do you think should have a plan like that? Who should be putting together a plan for the United States that deals with those things you're just talking about? If there's one person that should be working on that, who do you think it should be? And is he doing it?
One person, but one, I know what you're getting at.
Who should be leading it? Who should be the leader, Bruce? Who should be the leader, Bruce?
Let me answer.
Who should be the leader?
Let
please.
Her
word. Please.
The leaders should be, yes, it should be the national leader of who's in office, President Trump. It should also be the people that are closest to this. Where are all the black leaders that should be inputting and providing leadership on this instead of dividing and conquering and all that? The only ones I've seen on regular press, on TV and news, they're not uniting, they're dividing. We need leadership from not just the president. We need leadership from all those involved to get this problem solved instead of pointing fingers all the time.
Nobody's disagreeing with that, but let me ask all the panelists this question. Why haven't I seen a special report, breaking special report, the president addressing the nation and saying he's going to organize a special task force or whatever the heck you want to call it to address this situation, at least get the conversation started? Why hasn't he done that?
One part is they'd never air it. They'd never air it.
Oh,
They wouldn't cover it.
He's the president of the United States. Of course they would air it. Are you kidding me?
They would air it.
There's lots
hey,
of things
we gotta,
that, does, that they
hey,
don't air.
Hey, we got to fix this thing ourselves. I think the people will fix this. I think there's going to be so much backlash from the people that the politicians will have to react. This is not a Democratic problem or a Republican problem. This is a heart problem, and the people are going to respond like never before. David, you know something about the law enforcement. I think that the budgets will be cut in the police departments because they're being burdened with too many issues. They're having to deal with the psychological people that really should be in mental hospitals. They shouldn't have that budget. They're not equipped to deal with it. And another thing, too. The police department has a strong union. That union in the police department, David, expound upon that, how powerful they are on defending their people.
You're exactly right, but you know what? They can't even agree on what defund means. Some people think defund the police is change in what they do, kind of what you're saying, Don, and put monies in the proper places with different programs. Other people think,
well,
let's get rid of the police altogether.
That's not what I said. I said,
no, that's idiotic.
Oh, I know you didn't. I know you didn't. But some people, they're even confused on what defund means.
Hey guys, can we at least just find common ground, everyone on this panel, please? Can we find common ground in saying that we all agree that there is a problem and that problem needs to be fixed? Can we all at least
it's
agree
a problem.
To that?
It's a big
I agree
problem.
With that.
It needs
I
to
agree
does
with
everyone
that.
Agree there is a problem?
Hey, can we make a vow, gentlemen? Can we talk about solutions on how to fix this thing? Because I'm tired of going through this, man.
I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. Let's universally agree what the problem is. Can we all agree that the problem is police brutality amongst African-American men in the United States? Can we agree that that is the problem?
That's one of
yes.
them.
Yes.
Yes. Okay,
one
can we also agree that there are economic disparities in this country?
One problem
there is, Don, but economic disparities doesn't mean spread the money around to everybody evenly. It means equal opportunity. And if
see,
the equal opportunity
what,
isn't there,
one problem
then, yes,
at a time.
That
Bruce,
one
fair.
Problem at a time.
Absolutely.
One problem at a time. The cops are beating black people. Let's
yeah.
focus on that.
Go one
okay, one problem.
You gotta
we
go
can't
one.
Agree on. yeah, the cops are beating black people. Let's not.
How
we
how
already
do you
got distracted from that problem.
Michael's tired.
All right, gentlemen, we're going to kind of bring that to a close. I think we've been so busy talking about the address that changed from 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue that is now 1600 Black Lives Matter Boulevard. We know that there's some issues going
oh,
on.
Oh, don't get me started on that either.
That was so beautiful. That was a, that
hey,
was
David,
a beautiful day in America.
David, can we start? Can
yes.
we pick up on this at Michael's suggestion next time, next week?
Sure.
No, it's Father's Day.
Sure,
we
can.
Won't have a show next week. It's Father's Day.
Wow. Yeah. Unfortunately,
after,
it is.
The one after that.
We can. And I hope that by the time we get back, a lot of this has been solved. I don't. I hope. I can only
no,
hope so.
No, it won't be, David. It won't be solved.
No,
I know.
But hey,
I know.
Seriously, guys.
But
guys,
we all agree that there is a problem. I'm happy we all
yes,
found common
yes.
ground. We all agree there is a problem. It needs to be fixed.
Over the next 2 weeks, think of solutions.
All right, guys. Look, we only got 30 seconds left. Everybody's dropping off
think
right now, but.
We
want to say thank you to everyone who listened in. We hope that all the technical issues will be fixed out by next week, and we'll be back into our normal queue of things. Because I know there were callers, but we couldn't get into them. What?
And we're
everybody have a
we're
great
sorry
week.
We weren't
and
very
thanks,
emotional.
Guys. Oh wow! All right, you guys, take care.
Take care. Have a good week. Happy Father's Day.
Happy
hey,
Father's
God.
Day.
Love God.
Hey, Darius, I love you.
Love you too, Mark. Love all you guys.
Yeah, ditto. That's not a problem.